interesting week. Platform for Progress, the presidency, made two decisions in these 2 weeks, two weekly meetings on Thursdays, based on the findings of the disciplinary commission. We had two people expelled from Platform for Progress. One was a person who was a member of our political advisory board, who was also at some point the person who headed, was the head of the region Neretva, who had some, who developed some problems with a local organization in the region Neretva, and Mostar wanted to be listened to. But I was insisting on a dialogue between him and the local board, Platform for Progress board in or organizing committee, I'm sorry, in Mostar, which he didn't like. And then he was on our list of candidates in Mostar. He decided to pulled out seven of his friends, the people that he brought to the list or to Platform for Progress, and eventually were on the list. Who developed the theory that I didn't see it eye to eye with him because he was recommending a coalition, that we form a coalition in Mostar, whereas we never talked about it. He was talking about it, but never offered one other than, never offered one that basically said, I'm talking to these people, let's support this. It was hypothetical. Later on, he basically said that we developed a disagreement with respect to the issue, that I didn't want a coalition, he wanted it. There was an article in the newspaper to that effect, that they left, he and his friend left Platform, I think, because of the disagreement with me, which wasn't really true. It was about their wish to be completely in charge, and I'm a person of the process, democratic process. Later on, he also had another article in newspaper that was critical of Platform for Progress and repeating the same issues. And political advisory committee or board basically asking to refute the opinions stated in the first article, which he promised to do with his second article. The second article was the same as the first one. Disciplinary committee recommended that he be removed, and the presidency agreed with that recommendation. The second one was a person who got in disagreement with team for communication and marketing that he was part of. They wouldn't listen to him, and he insisted that he knows, and later developed a problem with the person who was leading region Bosnia. Then became very critical of me and sending emails to, in the end, 200 people complaining about anything and everything, declaring me a dictator and similar things. He was sent to the disciplinary committee because, as a candidate in these local elections, he was found to use tactics that we really don't condone, like buying small packages of coffee, giving to people, not too many, but still, other parties are known for buying votes by giving either money or a pound or 2 pounds of coffee with whatever else. He didn't do 2 pounds or pounds, small ones, But it was coffee, it was platform for progress on it, written and giving to people. As a perception, it's like, oh, we are giving coffee just like others. Anyway, because of all of that destructive behavior, he was sent to the disciplinary committee, was found guilty, and a recommendation was made that he be expelled, and the presidency agreed to, and those two people then subsequently found it necessary to send letters, scathing letters about Platform for Progress, me mostly, declaring me a dictator and somebody who just wants to keep people who think like myself. And sent it to the national media, and a couple of outlets published it. And that all was happening at the same time when, as I talked about the last time, the problem with the election of the mayor of Sarajevo. So happening in the wake of that, those discussions. So it was a couple of weeks of, they were challenging. And but now we are, and I guess I expect that there will be things like that in the future as well. But luckily, most of our members understand what is happening here. When somebody who is not, who doesn't get what he wants, and then decides to engage in some kind of revenge and make it public, thinking that they will in that way damage the organization. Yeah, but now we are slowly moving forward. I had a chance to be on the national TV to talk about what happened in the mayoral issue in the, with the process of, with the selection process of the new mayor of Sarajevo. I also talked about the fact that we have invited all opposition parties to come on April 12th at 5 p.m. to our offices to talk about strategy for 2022. So I announced it on the national TV, as well as announcing the nationwide protests on May 30th. And 1 year anniversary of the protests on May 30th in Sarajevo last year. Of course, pending the improvement in coronavirus pandemic situation. Looking forward to that event on Monday. It seems that thus far about 7-8 parties have informed us that they will come, and I think that it is, I cannot say will produce some results that will lead to some kind of unification or creating a grand coalition of the opposition parties, but I think it's going to start a dialogue regarding the importance of enlarging and these opposition parties, or putting them under one umbrella in terms of providing a stronger opposition to the parties that have been ruling Bosnia and Herzegovina in a disastrous way for the past 25 years. And that we come up with a common program, set of principles, strategy for the elections, perhaps organize those protests together, and really understand the situation that Bosnia and Herzegovina is in these days, and a bleak future ahead of us if we don't get our act together and take responsibility for the situation of the country. So that somehow is defining my, at least, activities this week. I'm thinking about the platform, the program to offer to those parties, the way to collaborate. That will prevent egos of people who I used to be first and above others to participate in something as equal partners. So I'm looking forward to it, just to see that who is going to step up and who might not be willing to participate in this joint effort. Of course, there are other conversations about other parties, about possible unification, which has to be dealt with very carefully, see what the benefits are, first and foremost, for the country, if any, and second, for the party, as a tool of getting to those positive changes in the country. And I suspect that this process that I hope will start on Monday, April the 12th, will offer a new kind of politics or approach to politics, at least on paper. I don't know to what extent will other parties follow that. But I know that I'm very serious now, and we are Platform for Progress. We are serious about putting the future of the country front and center when we talk about even the current events today, and we will be doing it tomorrow and until 2022. Because the situation in the country is really dire. Calls for changes in the electoral law are more loud day by day, or louder day by day. The international community seems to be in agreement more and more so with that idea with every passing day. And for us, it'll be disaster, because it would limit the voting rights of people in Bosnia and Herzegovina even further, and will get us closer to a possible down the road division of the country and the creation of something, or Palestinization of the part of Bosnia and Herzegovina that would be predominantly occupied by or populated by Muslims or Bosniaks in Bosnia and Herzegovina. This is all happening at the time when the authorities are unable to secure vaccines for the citizens, and they have to go to neighboring countries to get vaccinated, which is a shame for the country. We are not a poor country. We do have a government, they do have responsibility, and yet they don't take those responsibilities seriously enough to take care of the lives of the citizens. It is so much that still minor party in the opposition can do when it comes to affairs of the entities or the country itself or Brčko district. But we are trying to be constructive in everything we do, including what we can do here. I wrote to actually President Biden through the official channels on the Facebook, on the web page of the White House. also sent a similar letter to the State Department, asking, begging really for the United States to help Bosnia-Herzegovina secure vaccines. The problem is Bosnia-Herzegovina paid through the COVAX mechanism of the European Union, the mechanism for securing vaccines. But being a small country and not having many friends in the world and dysfunctional government, we are close to the end when it comes to priorities. And these days what we have is donations that other countries have when it comes to vaccines. And I was hoping somebody there would read it, actually, and decide to do something. And I'm glad that the State Secretary, Mr. Blinken, said in one of his public appearances that the United States should take the lead in worldwide distribution of vaccines, and I was hoping that that could be an opening. Incidentally, he wrote a letter to the three members of the presidency of Bosnia-Herzegovina stating that we shouldn't really hope that this new Biden administration will make radical changes in Bosnia-Herzegovina, that they will, he basically said, don't expect we will come with a new constitution that will change everything and then drastically and then practically take sides. But he said that the United States will work with European Unions, with European Union and the political parties in power, or major political parties, on necessary changes to the electoral law and minor changes to the constitution, which sent a chilling reminder to Bosnians that not much will change, even with the new U.S. administration, which was very, very disappointing. But I understand the world politics. The United States has enough issues of its own to take care of. I mean, COVID-19, economy, divisions in the country, reestablishing its partnering position with European Union, its allies in the world, understand all that. Yeah, this letter was really, in a way, eye-opening, and I think it is quite clear to everybody that what I have been saying all along is true, and that is that it is up to us. Nobody is going to give us the freedom on the platter, good economy, human rights, less corruption, whatever. We need to fight for that. On Monday, I'm going to have a Zoom meeting with Ambassador Sattler from the European Commission, who is leading these efforts in talking to leaders of a few political parties who in power about the changes of the electoral law, of which I was very critical, because why would you talk to heads of two parties? Why not talk to the parliament? Why not talk to civil society? Why not talk to all the parties about what needs to be done or changed? Because it is going to affect all the citizens. And they have subsequently changed that and actually engaged in limited conversations with some opposition parties, as well as initiated the formation of the parliamentary commission to talk about those issues, but only after we complained, seriously complained. I was not invited to those conversations, but he offered a Zoom meeting with me, so I'm going to just repeat my concerns and how this is a defining moment in Bosnian history and future, in the sense that it may determine the future of Bosnia-Herzegovina if we don't do the right thing. So, that is really what's happening. I'm spending a lot of time talking to other parties about best ways to approach 2022 from the perspective of Bosnia-Herzegovina. Some success with some parties and not so much with others. But I think this meeting on April 10th will be telling in many ways. Telling in terms of willingness, true willingness of political parties to start seriously thinking about Bosnia-Herzegovina first, regarding its activities, their activities, and then thinking of their political success in the election 2022 and securing certain number of positions that would give them certain rights or maybe access to the funds of publicly owned institutions in which we don't want to participate in, but that's what they are hoping for. Having access to money, wherever it is, whether it's in the government or in publicly owned institutions, which we found appalling, which we find appalling, but that's the name of the game here. People here get into politics to make money. And I believe, and we believe, that you get into politics to serve. So we'll see how that will, how that will play out in the Bosnian-Herzegovinian society is yet to be seen. They are used to the game that those other parties have been playing over the years, and we are trying to change that game. We'll see how successful we'll be.
In terms of formulating a coalition, is there like a set number or anything in terms of how many opposition parties would be needed to really make an impact, or is that not even part of the equation?
Well, no. What I invited everybody but the three ethnic parties. And if, let's say, top seven parties show up, seven opposition top parties show up, we would have enough votes to beat those ethnic parties at every level of the government. Now, so basically what I'm saying is this is the game between the ethnic side, ethnically driven politics, and citizen-based politics, citizen rights-based politics, citizens' interest-based politics. Now, ideologically, these countries, these no countries, parties, are ideologically diverse. They go from center to left, or center right to left. But I think at this point, we have to say first things first. Get into the position to take power, to enact the changes that are needed in the country. And we have to agree to two things. One, the changes that need to happen. And two, the way we will behave while doing so. And because of that, we need both the program, set of activities, promises, and set of principles that will guide our behavior. And because of that, I'm not sure we'll get all of them to agree, because those who have been successful in 2020 local elections will think they alone or with a couple of their partners have the ability to defeat the ethnically based parties. I'm not sure that they do. And that is why a broader thinking is going to be required to truly be very successful in 2022. What I expect is that some people will come and just to hear what we have to say and go home and figure out how to neutralize us. There will be others who basically say, hey, wait a second, we need to get fewer parties in the political spectrum, and we do. It would be nice if all of these people would just form one party. But I think some of those 7, 8, 10, 12, whatever, will decide to merge. Some of them will form coalitions. That's fine. But I think what I would like all of them to agree to is to some contact of behavior, coordination of activities that will lead to positive outcome in 2022. And so a lot will depend on our ability to sell the idea of why this is good, and on their perception of their strength, whether they need the big umbrella or they can do it by themselves. We'll see. Our job is to offer what we can offer, and for the other parties and citizens to figure out who deserves their support and their trust.
Is it, in terms of vetting, I don't know if that's the right word or not, but just as precautionary measures in forming coalitions with other parties, being careful of, it seems okay on the surface at the beginning and then running into problems that have occurred in the past in terms of,
right,
it sounds good, but boom, something happens.
Every party, whether position or opposition in Bosnia and Herzegovina, has been part of a ruling coalition at some level of a government at some point. Every party, and that's true other than us, because this is the first time we have representatives at the local government, and we are not in a majority in any sense that we guide the whole, that we rule the coalition, that we are simply majority partner or we are in the opposition. So having said that, it is easy to say and see that every party has some baggage. Every party has some good people and has some very bad people. And there's a danger that these enlargements would be seen as joining with those who will make you dirty, really, in the sense that we are clean at this point, and we're giving some kind of, our contribution is some kind of trust that we have from the people of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Now, what we're gaining is that some good people who are in a position of power who can make a difference. We have to be very careful when we think about these issues, simply because we have a large segment of our members who are basically saying, don't go ever with anybody, because you cannot trust anybody. And that is true. At the same time, looking at the way that the people have voted in 2018 and 2020, it is fair to assume that those ethno-religious parties control the process of electoral process. And therefore, it is going to be really hard to control the process, verify when you are small and you don't have enough people to participate in every election committee and every polling place or every voting place. And so size matters, right, in terms of how many people you can put on foot to go and meet everybody and send the message, convey the message, get the people, and so on. So if we take the interest of Bosnia-Herzegovina first, which stands to reason that more parties working together will have a better outcome. At the same time, the purists among us will complain about our selling ourselves to the dark forces just to be able to participate in the government. I would love to be able to go along and win it all under our terms. But the reality of the situation in Bosnia-Herzegovina is warning us that it is really not just up to us or up to the voters, but it is about the perception of the Bosnian public, who has the strength to carry out reforms, and also the crookedness of the electoral process, which is controlled by these three parties that are in power at the national level.
And the other thing, and I know it's always been this way, but I'm hearing it more as you talk about things in terms of, this is about the country. This is about the future of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Is that going to play a more predominant theme in the campaign moving forward in terms of who you are and what you represent and what the other folks don't, essentially?
Well, you know, whatever I say gets copied quickly. There are a few parties that are really good at that. So cannot talk much exactly about our positioning for the campaign, but it is honest to say, it is sufficient to say, it, or it suffices to say that we will be focusing on this citizen-focused Bosnia-Herzegovina, which may require change of its constitution and get enough people behind our or within our ranks to be able to bring new political reality to Bosnia-Herzegovina after the election of 2022 so that we can carry out those changes. And of course, I always say it is a dialogue of all citizens of Bosnia-Herzegovina, regardless of who they are, and we need to work together to make it happen. These nationalists, or I would say ethnic parties, still very strong. They control all the processes. They control the country. They're ready to divide it. And we need to be prepared for that fight. Nothing will happen overnight. But if we get united under one set of goals, under one umbrella, political umbrella, that then we certainly have a chance. I know that we are doing what we are, what we can, and that is asking everybody to come together right here in these, in our headquarters, to talk about the future of Bosnia and Herzegovina. So we'll see. But yeah, our campaign is focus is pretty much going to be obvious. What kind of Bosnia and Herzegovina we want? What kind of its internal arrangement needs to be? And it is obvious that we need a lot of help from many other parties to be able to make those changes that are truly necessary if Bosnia wanted to be prosperous ever.
And just to backtrack to the beginning of our conversation with the two individuals that were expelled from the party, what could you identify as the key takeaway for you in terms of what happened and moving forward in terms of that process, if needed again?
Well, we really have to be very careful with our human resources process, selection of the best cadre, the best resources that we have. I don't want to say that these are bad people. I'm just saying that people have to be willing to compromise and work with other people. You cannot be exclusive. And we didn't notice. We noticed those things early on, but we never acted on it. And basically the message, the lesson is that once you see behavior that is not going to lead to a greater cohesion among our ranks, we need to act and basically ask those people to go somewhere else where their political future might be even more prosperous. These people have made their contribution. That is true. They worked. In some cases, they worked hard. But you cannot simply be exclusive. You cannot pretend you know the best and ask for yourself basically special status, that somebody will do what you say that should be done. It's democracy. You sit down and talk, you report, you complain, and the majority then decides. And if you're not happy with the decision of the majority, that doesn't give you the right to go around and basically say nothing works, you know everything, you're the best, everybody else is failing the platform. So that's the situation we are in. We need to be very careful, recognize those cases early on, and don't let it develop the way it developed right now, that you get to the point where you have to expel somebody. This is the first time we did it, and to do it twice in 2.5 years, and to do it twice in a month is just unbelievable. It just says that we have been really reluctant to sanction anybody for anything. We just try to talk to people, talk to bring them to their senses and bring to their attention this necessity to be a team player. You can say, claim as much as you want to, that you know the best, but A, it might not be the case. B, you might need other people to carry it out. And therefore, you cannot just anger everybody, proving yourself that you are the only one who knows things, expecting that people will follow you.
It's interesting that those who were expelled are coming out and accusing you of being what they were in terms of...
That's exactly right. I mean, it's they wanted the control. They wanted the power. They wanted somebody to tell them, yeah, we'll do whatever you say. We'll remove other people so you have the space to work with it. And in some sense, that is what they expected me to be, the dictator, and give them what they want and remove everybody else. And I refused that. And now I'm being accused of a dictator. Yeah. So that's exactly the claim is too much democracy, Mossad, too much democracy. That's not good for Bosnia and Herzegovina. You need to be a strong armed man, and then just make then the changes. And when you don't do that, they accuse you of being a dictator. And such is life.